things which must speedily transpire and signified as the idea of to open, make known, by his angel. We consider this angel a little later, Gabriel, all through the book 14 times, unto his servant John. Then comes this unique blessing. We won't take a whole lot of time on it. We can put your whole sermon on it. The book begins and ends with a blessing. In fact, there are 7 times the word blessed occurs in the book. But in 22:14, God gives in the epilogue, the end of the book, another blessing upon those who heed this prophecy of this book. And here, and notice 3 kinds of people, the blessing. They that read, and the Greek word means to read out loud. So it's primarily in the church. 2,000 years, much of the church has lost this blessing. The Greek word means to read out loud. I can give you a lot of texts for this, where Paul says, for instance, in the epistle of the Ephesians, he said, you send this epistle over to be read in the church at Laodicea. You have the church epistle to Laodicea. It's one evidently God never didn't intend to include in the canon, unless Ephesians, some say, is the book, epistle to Laodiceans. I don't believe it. You caused the epistle to the Laodiceans to be read in the church at Ephesus. How now? Most churches ignore this. And why, if Jesus tarries and God calls you to pastor a church, teach Revelation. You say, I don't understand it all. Well, neither do I. I don't think anybody does. God didn't say, blessed are those that know it all. Say that. I'll show you in that third one here. Not only is there a blessing upon the one who reads it out loud, there's a blessing on those who hear it read out loud, that we're hearing. And then third, a blessing upon those who keep. The word keep means to treasure, store up, value. Lay to heart, one translation gives it. He carries the idea to guard as very valuable, precious. See, sayings of the prophecy of this book. Well, the time is at hand. Not some great future, but in John's day. Here's why we must believe in the messages to the 7 churches as being for the whole 2,000 years. Then comes this beautiful salutation in verse 8, 4 through 8. And notice the preposition. To, from, unto, but it is primarily to the 7 churches. From the Trinity. Here's the introduction to these 7 churches, and we'll see the individual message to the 7 churches in chapters 2 and 3. I put 7 divisions to this salutation, verses 4 through 8. 4 divisions. And I try to give it in an alliteration. I-L-L-I-T-R-I. P-A-T-I-O-N. Alliteration. That's another right out of what it is. Alliteration, as you know, is that using sounds that are much alike. I'll name these real fast and then I'll get a little slower and I'll call your attention to them as you go through. Inspiration, destination, emanation, dedication, adoration, proclamation, and declaration. See the alliteration. But the first one is inspiration. John. And of course, 4 times in the book, you'll see this inspiration. I, John, is in the Spirit. as in verse 11. Or 10. I, John, was in the Spirit. It's inspiration. Not in John's daydreaming or nightmare. It was inspiration. He got this by inspiration. In the Spirit. Two. His destination. The seven churches which are in Asia. And of course they're named in chapters 2 and 3. From the Trinity. That's that. All three. From Him which is, which was, and which is to come, that's God the Father. Of course, it's applied to Jesus too later, showing the deity of Jesus. I'll call your attention to the deity of Jesus all through this book. This book certainly showed the deity of Jesus Christ, the oneness with the Father. This is the tetragrammaton, or the unmentionable name of God to the Jews. That four-letter word for God, four consonants, no vowels, in the original. It is corrupted into the word Jehovah. Rotherham has a very beautiful introduction to his translation of the Scriptures explaining this hidden or suppressed name of God. It occurs over 7,000 times in the Bible. Jehovah is probably as good as any, but Yahweh is probably better by Rotherham. I think maybe it's a better way to pronounce it. I guess you can't pronounce it. Somebody said it's an unpronounceable name. But it is God's covenant name, Jehovah. Then notice, and from Jesus Christ. Gives these beautiful things concerning Him. Who is the faithful witness, the trustworthy martyr. The word witness and martyr is the same word. Trustworthy witness or martyr. The first begotten of the dead. And we'll come across this first begotten from the dead later again, so I won't go to it here in the second and third chapters. And the ruler of the kings on earth. This is threefold office of prophet, priest, and king, by the way, but we won't get it here in detail. But I want you to notice the two great relationship to us. And hath made us, constituted us, established us, a kingdom of priests. I believe this is a true Hendiatus. Not just two things, kings and priests, but a kingdom of priests. Constituted us a kingdom of priests under God his Father. And two, I skipped one, I think. From the seven spirits in verse 1. Four times in the Revelation. Let's see wait till the fourth chapter, the seven spirits are tortured before the Lord, to show you why he's called seven tortures or seven spirits. Not that there are seven Holy Spirits. This is the Holy Spirit. But it's in his official office in Jesus Christ. You'll find that official office in the ninth chapter of the book of Isaiah, where the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me, and then he gives six more attributes of the Spirit upon him. It is in his sevenfold ministry in Jesus. Now, notice the next is dedication, and emanation is from the Trinity. Destination is the seven churches, inspiration is John. Dedication unto him. Here's dedication. Be glory and be dominion unto the ages of the ages. Amen. Next is adoration. can be glory. Two, preposition. Here is adoration. To him be all glory, all dominion, rulership under the age of the angels. Then comes proclamation, verse 7. And it is the theme of the book. You have seven great announcements in this book of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Five of them with behold, starting. The Greek grammar says that every Greek sentence that begins with the word behold has a very strong message to which you better pay attention. It is a very strong declaration and proclamation. It's to focus all your attention upon it. And it's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in power. It's the message of the book. Not the rapture. The revelation. Not the beginning of the tribulation period, but the end of the tribulation period. Behold, he cometh with clouds. As Jesus himself twice gave, and Paul gives. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They don't do this at the rapture. Remember, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. When we come to chapter 19, we shall see the conclusion of this, though there is one more vague prophecy of his coming. Just believe it. Every eye shall see him. When he comes in power and great glory, in flaming fire. When he comes with all the glory of his Father and of his holy angels. All the armies of heaven with him in chapter 19. His revelation takes place. This is the announcement. This is the proclamation. Or rather the proclamation. He cometh. There's one more. Not only every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. This, of course, takes you back to Zechariah, 13th chapter. This is when all Israel shall be saved. We saw in Galatians. This is when God will graft them in again. This is when he returns to rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is cast down. They also which pierced him. We shall see these. Most of the book is occupied with Israel and the other nations. There is a remnant of woman's seed, we shall see, who are Jews, who will give out the gospel in the tribulation period. Then number 7 is declaration. The I am. Great declaration.
What was number 6, Dr. Ben?
Number 6 was proclamation. Behold, he cometh. Five was dedication unto him. These prepositions help a whole lot in sin. Here is the great I am. Here's the great amen. And five of his great names are given. And in most of the original manuscripts, there's another one given. I won't say. Yes, the first one is inspiration, John. Second is destination under the seven churches. Third is emanation from the Trinity. The seven spirits, the great I am, or the ever-living Jehovah, was, is, and is to come. And then, of course, and from Jesus Christ. The fifth one, or emanation, then the fourth one is dedication, unto him be glory. That's dedication. He dedicates the book to Jesus. This is adoration. Him be the glory. Along with the dedication. And proclamation, be holy covenant. Seventh is declaration. Verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega. Beginning and the end. Real ancient manuscript has that phrase in there, but it does come later in the book, so it's all right. That is what it is. It seems to have been a footnote put in to explain Alpha and Omega. Of course, Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And it comes from the Old Testament, where it's used of God Almighty, I think, 5 times, where it is the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But here it's Alpha and Omega. Alpha is the first letter, and Omega is the last. The long O in the Greek alphabet. That's the first one. And saith the Lord, Kyrios, 21 times in the book. And then almost all real ancient manuscripts have Kyrios, God, in between Lord and this paraphrase, which is Jehovah, which is and which was and which is to come, the great I Am. Then the Almighty, Pantakrator, 9 times in the book. And only once outside the book. We'll see when we come to it. There are 7 great names of God in Revelation. We have 5 of them here. Let me give them to you. 7 great names. Theos is the most common. The most common in the New Testament. 99 times in Revelation it occurs. Theos. T-H-E-O-S. Theos. It's the only true God. And mostly translated God. And with the preposition, it always denotes overall the infinite source of all else. Theos, God. The second word is Pantakrator. It's spelled just like it's pronounced, I think. It's P-O-N-T, Pantak, P-O-K. P-O-N, or P-A-N, excuse me. I got all in the brain. P-A-N, T-O-K, Pantak. The emphasis is Pantak, or God. R-A-T-O-R. This is a difficult word once you learn it. Pantakrator. P-A-N-T-O-K, R-A, and the emphasis upon the A, the alpha. T-O-R. 9 times in Revelation, and only once outside of Revelation. Translated most of the time, Almighty. Almighty. Very good translation of the word, Almighty. It means all ruler. Overall. The one who rules everything. Period. Tremendous word for God. It answers to the El Shaddai of the Old Testament, the Almighty of the Old Testament. So in 19:1, it's translated omnipotent. Omnipotent, which means all power. It has the idea of supreme ruler, like Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 9 times in the book. The third word is Jehovah. Paraphrased in the book, of course, not. It's not spelled out. It's who was and is and it means to come. 5 times in the book. course, it's always God's covenant name, the self-existing one, who said of Abraham, I am because I am. They said, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? He said, say I am that sent me. That's not good grammar. It's excellent theology. I am. Here's the one who is because he is and for no conditioning outside cause whatsoever. God is not caused, but he causes everything else. There can be no existence apart from him. He's the self-existing God who causes all other existence. No wonder then Moses needed assurance that God was able to do what to deliver 3 million souls out of Pharaoh's control. Say I am the sent you. He just needed it, period. You need to worry about anything else when he sends you. He's not broke yet. He never will be. The fourth word for God is espotes. Espotes. D-E-S-P-O-T-E-S. Long E's, long O. Espotes. It only occurs one time, 6:10. But it's very graphic there. The souls underneath the altar in heaven under the fifth sea of pride, how long, O Despotes, until you get vengeance upon our enemies. And in the context, douloi is used for them, servants. This is exactly the difference. It means master. Master. Lord, the one who has the right to rule, the one who has the right to command, and you and I have only one right, and that's to obey. Master. Despotes. It occurs in some other scriptures, by the way, but we didn't get them here. The fifth name for God is Kurios. K-U-R-I-O-S. Kurios. K-U-R-I-O-S. Translated Lord. It occurs 21 times in the book. Very often with God, Theos. Lord God. And of course, Lord is the Lordship, right of dominion. And of course, Christ will have every knee bow to him and confess that he's curious to the glory of God. Philippians 3. It's not an accident it's used here and applied to Jesus. Anyone who denies the deity of Jesus Christ has no explanation for the same name for God used with Jesus, all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Our Lord. We've already given you where the New World Translation has trouble with Corinthians when they said that Kurios should be translated master except it applies to God. Then they get in there with every tongue should confess that Jesus is Kurios. And then you go, hey, well, as to do with Hebrews 1. The sixth name for God is Alpha and Omega. And applied to Jesus, the first and the last. The beginning and the ending. The whole alphabet in between, too, by the way. Seven times in Revelation. Alpha and Omega. And the seventh one, very precious, Father of Christ. Father of Christ. Five times in Revelation. I want you to know this book is a family book. It's a family affair. Between the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As we've seen in the salutation from Holy Spirit, Christ, and the Father. Don't you think the family won't settle the affairs?
Dr. Bragg, would you comment on verse 7 where it says, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him?
You'll see it in the opening of the sixth seal, for instance, in chapter 6. When the seven great classifications of earth, mighty men and captains and lords and servants, shall fall down and cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. There will be a universal wailing, consternation, when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven in power. And the great cataclysmic events take place in the tribulation period. One of the biggest is that earthquake of shaking heaven and earth, which never has been before, ever will be again, which changes the whole topography of the earth. It will change the land masses of the earth, I think, to bring them into one place, so that it will facilitate the traveling to Jerusalem once a year to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, the last chapter of Zechariah. But I can well imagine this, really. There are quite a few other texts, by the way, but we'll get into the secret as we go along through the book. By the way, this verse 7, we've only got a few minutes, a couple minutes left. Unless I extend the time a little bit. In verse 7, it is the first of seven great doxologies in the book. Ending with a hallelujah chorus in chapter 19. Then all creation joins in the word hallelujah. Only time hallelujah occurs in the New Testament. So we've often said, learn to say hallelujah now, or you're going to be surprised when you get to heaven. We'll stop there, because I don't want to start with the body of the book. Starting with verse 9. Be sure to read ahead. Read any commentaries you might have, even if they're wrong. Soak your heart and soak your mind in this precious book so that you can appreciate it. It wouldn't hurt. I found it very helpful. Yeah, I know if I'm going to teach a book, I read all my material. I even listen to my tapes and pass classes. I have a Monday night class, so I have tapes around. I have a past one from my class here in the daytime. And I like to listen to them, especially now that I get into the body of the book, and especially when I get into chapters 4, 5, and 6, because books in the class come to me that I've never had, maybe in studying the book. And then to read the subject matter, read the text again and again and again and again. It wouldn't hurt to read, for instance, the rest of chapter 1 a dozen times. It doesn't take but a minute to read through the chapter. And then read it again and again and again until you get steeped in it. You go backwards and backwards. Not too backwards. Yes, I personally believe it's a Hendiadys in that it's not two things. We are a kingdom of priests. This is the priesthood of the individual believer. And also our service in eternity. I think he does have this in view. We're not going to sit on a cloud bank playing a harp forever. I think we're going to be infinitely busy and never get tired. A Hendiadys is a figurative speech where two nouns in the same case form, and only one has the definite article. They're not two things, but the one without the definite article is an adjective modifying the other. That's the Granville-Sharp rule or Hendiadys. It bears the idea that, and there are a lot of them, by the way. For instance, Jesus said, except you be born of the Spirit and of the water. Not two things. It's a Hendiadys. He is saying you have to be born of the water of the Holy Spirit. Because remember the question had been asked, do I have to enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? When he misunderstood, Nicodemus misunderstood the words of Jesus. Christ said, no, this is to be born of spiritual water. Water of the Spirit. Not two things. Like the baptism of regeneration. As when he said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Not two things, but the fire of the Holy Ghost. The New Testament abounds in this figure of speech. You can look it up either under Hymnias or Grandoshart's rule. I think there's another name, but I can't remember what it is.
So, you like John R. Newell's book on Revelation?
Yes, though of course in the class he was so much better than he was in the book. One thing I like about it is his Greek, his translation from the Greek gives you a better translation. Let me say this, I have always been utterly amazed, absolutely utterly amazed at the Holy Spirit's control over the King James translators. And I believe that those men were godly men, most godly. There seems to have been one or two on the translation, for instance, in the All Scriptures given by inspiration of God, that outraged every rule of Greek grammar and translation in the translation there in the Revised Version text, but some of those were much later, but still. But I understand that probably every translator in King James Day on the Scriptures was not a language. Now you try translating from one language into yours when you don't know what they're talking about. You hardly know which word to pick. Here you've got several synonyms. Which is the accurate one? Which is the one that comes closest to the meaning in the original? I have a lot of illustrations of this. I may give you one where they, from English into the Russian. I was reading it the other day. It came out the most foolish thing in the world. They couldn't get it, it seems like. But what is the amazing? It shows the Holy Spirit. And I realized that these translators didn't know what in the world John was talking about. They were amillennialists, and an amillennialist doesn't know what he was talking about. But the Holy Ghost guarded them. And if you never had another book in the universe except the King James Version, the whole Bible, you could hold it in your hands like this and praise God for it and say, I've got the Word of God. I'm not a slave to the King James Version. I'm just saying. The Holy Ghost controlled it. But never get the idea that God gave the Bible in the King James Version. He gave it Greek and Hebrew. Aramaic, some of it, some in Chaldaic. But the idea is, now when you teach the Bible, teach it from the King James Version. Stand up there and read some text, and they look at their Bible and say, I don't know what Bible he's got, but he's got that mine. Preach and teach from the King James Version. Then say, the Greek word here can be translated so and so and so. That's good. Don't leave nothing there. But if I had no other book in the world to teach from except the King James, never seen another one, I still believe I could teach it just about like I'm teaching it. Holy Spirit guarded this translation. I believe that with all my heart. Well, you're dismissed.